firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you?
Have you heard the challenge, show me your calendar and your checkbook? And I'll show you what's truly most important in your life. What does your calendar and checkbook reveal about your priorities? Are you investing your time and treasure in your spouse? Maybe your children? Your hobbies? How about your house? Well, today on Through the Bible, our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, shows us in Colossians 3, verses 1 to 5, that as believers, our commitment to Christ should be first in our lives. Get ready, because Paul's words are sure to convict our hearts today. But that's a good thing. Let's invite God's Spirit to use His Word to show us how to walk with Him in joy and obedience, as always, that result in our good and God's glory. Now, before we begin our study, let's share a few letters from our fellow listeners who've taken God's Word to heart. The first one comes from Mark. He's in Lake Taps, Washington. I first jumped on the Bible bus nearly 30 years ago. It was a difficult time in my life. I was searching for answers. Your program made a huge difference in my spiritual journey. I listened and learned so much about God's Word. Dr. McGee's words are instrumental in my walk of faith. Since then, your programs have helped me through my college life, my marriage, raising kids, and now getting ready to retire and watch my children on their journey. I recently started listening to your iPhone app. I can listen anytime, any place I want. How awesome is that? I hope to be on the Bible bus another 30-plus years. I pray several times a day for your program and enjoy hearing about how your program is changing the world one life at a time. Well, thanks, Mark, so much for writing us that letter. It really is a pleasure to have you join us each day. And I pray that you would enjoy your retirement. And this email, this next one, comes from a listener named Gary. I've never had a closer walk with the Lord since I joined the World Prayer Team. All right, Gary. My daily walk is more focused and I feel that I am connected with believers everywhere. The testimonies of new believers remind me of how wonderful our lives are having been born into the family of God. Thank you for organizing this amazingly effective ministry that we can all join in and be part of. Well, Gary, we're certainly glad to have you on board with us, and we praise God for how His Word works in all of our lives. You know, we'd love to hear from you as well, so why don't you share your story at BibleBus@ttb.org or share it on our Facebook page. Now, as we bow our heads in prayer, let's ask God to use His Word to change and challenge us today. Heavenly Father, thank You for the transformation that comes from putting Jesus first in our lives. And as we listen, Lord, speak softly to us about the areas in our lives that You'd like us to surrender. Help us to seek You first in all that we do so that our lives will reflect Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now we've come to the line of division in this little epistle. It conforms to Paul's regular way of dividing. He always gives first the doctrinal section and then the practical section. And now he gives to us here the practical section. We have seen the preeminence of Christ in this first part. We've seen Him as He is a member of the Trinity, that He's God. He's very man of very man, but He's very God of very God. And then He's preeminent in creation because He is the Creator. And He is preeminent, as we have seen, in redemption. For He is the Redeemer. He's the one who gave Himself for us. And He's preeminent in the church, for He gave Himself for the church. Now we have come to the place where Paul is going to insist that He be made preeminent in our lives. Now, actually, we hear today a great deal about dedication. Well, what is dedication? Well, to put it in a definition that's very brief, dedication is Christ preeminent in our lives. Now, you can't just say, I'm a dedicated Christian, and then live as you please, as a great many are doing today. It means that if He is preeminent in your life, that you're going to live out that life down here, because He has already said to us, as you know in this epistle, in Him, that is in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness, the pleroma of the Godhead bodily. And you're complete. You're made full in Him. You're ready for the voyage of life in Him. In other words, Christ is really the solution to all the problems of life. And Paul took up, as we have seen here, all these different things that lead people from the person of Christ, like enticing words, carried away by oratory, our philosophy, our legal system, our mysticism, our asceticism. These are things that lead people away from the person of Christ. And very candidly, the Christian life is to live Christ out today. And he's going to talk about that now in this section here. And we'll find that in him is all that you and I will need. And now we see, therefore, Christ, the fullness of God, he's poured out into the life through the believers today. And that's the only way that he can be poured out. Now we have here in this first section, the thoughts and affections of believers are heavenly. And the thing that's important here is now the scripture that we have. And I'd like to read first this very first verse, Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Now, the if here is not the if of condition. It's really the if of argument. And we've already seen that before in this epistle here. Paul, for instance, says, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled. That was way back in chapter 1, verse 23. Now, there was no question about they were continuing in the faith and grounded and settled. And they were not moved away from the hope of the gospel. The if there, again, is the if of argument. Because actually, these Colossian Christians, they had the evidence of their salvation. Now, what was the evidence? Well, it was faith and hope and love. The fruits of the Spirit were in their lives. Now, let's turn back and look at that for just a moment. In verse 4 of chapter 1, Paul said, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. The word got around that they had a living faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. They love the believers. And that is the thing that is important today, love among the believers. And it's not this sentimental stuff today that you hear so much about. But you evidence your love if you're a minister, if you give them the word of God. And if you are a believer in the church, you evidence your love for your pastor, whether you support a Bible teaching ministry or not. My friend, this thing is very practical. It gets right down where the rubber meets the road. And if it doesn't, it's no good at all. It's not just to come around and pat somebody on the back and say, I love you, and talk about it all the time. Love is that which manifests itself in reality, you see. So that they had faith, and they had love. They also had hope. Will you notice we are told here as we move on down verse 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. And they had a hope. And that hope was the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for his church. And these were the evidences of the fact that they were children of God. And this was the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 8, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. You see, it was a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the lives of these believers there in the city of Colossae. So that what we have here, again, is not a question or a condition, but of argument. Paul is saying, since you are risen, or since you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now, here again is something that I think is very, very important. And I want you to notice now what he's saying here. He says, where is Christ today? Well, he's sitting on the right hand of God. What are we to do today? We're to seek those things which are above. And that word seek is a very interesting word, by the way. It actually means having an urgency and a desire. and an ambition, having all of the excitement that goes with seeking those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. It was like in the Olympics, you see these folks running or doing some athletic feat to win a gold medal. Well, believe me, they were seeking it. I don't see many saints today looking for gold medals, but that's what we're to do. But where are we to seek them? Will we to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God? The things above are what? Where Christ is. And it means to seek the things of Christ. Now, I want you to notice something here very important. He doesn't say here that we are to run off and take up some little course of mixture of pseudo-psychology and a smattering of Bible. He doesn't say that we just seek that. These things that are mixed up today and handed out, and these poor crippled Christians today are attempting to pick up this type of thing, and this pseudo-psychology and a little smattering of Bible is stirred up in a few night classes, and when you've taken that course, you have been given a solution to all the problems of life, all the way from a neurotic mother-in-law to a boss that's a dirty old man. You can just know how to treat everybody now when you've had this little course. You can solve all the problems of life. You've been given a do-it-yourself kit, and presto, well, there's an open sesame to a new life. I say to you, and I say it very carefully, that you can only do it as you seek those things which are above, where Christ is at the right hand of God. And friends, you can't find it in a tape either. Now, I'm beginning to step on toes, in fact, my own toes. A couple came to me in a summer conference, says, "Dr. McGee, we have a certain tape of yours. We play that tape at least once every week. Listen to it." Well, I had a feeling that they were beginning to worship a man, and that tape wasn't getting them through to Christ. And friends, it'd be better if they'd burn that tape if it doesn't get them through to Christ. And now I'm really going to step on toes. He didn't say here to seek out and listen to a radio program. May I say this to you, and may I say it kindly, and may I say it very frankly today. Not many will be quite as frank as I am, as you well know. Don't make McGee your idol. If you do, you have one that has feet of clay. You are looking to a man that's just like you are, person just like you are. I make a lot of mistakes. I'm not near the man I'd like to be, not the husband I'd like to be, not the father, and I'm not even the grandfather I'd like to be. May I say it to you? Don't make the Through the Bible program a God for you. My friend, the purpose of this program and the purpose of this poor preacher is to get through the Word of God to you so that you can see the living Christ and get through to Him. And friends, if the Holy Spirit just doesn't use this to get you through to the living Christ, then we've fallen on our face, and I'm really willing to quit. Now, the Bible, and I believe this with all my heart, is a book which reveals the living Christ. I'd like to illustrate that. I was in school with a fellow, he was a Canadian. He told me about his first trip down to Niagara Falls. And by the way, Miss McGee and I, we had the opportunity of seeing Niagara Falls for the first time for each one of us. And I said to her when we were there looking over the falls and that mighty cascade of water, I said to her, "Honey," I said, "I promised you that on our honeymoon we'd go to Niagara Falls." I think we're still on our honeymoon. And I said, "Here we are." So we got to see it. But this young fellow told me that as a boy, young boy, he got on a train and he went down from the Canadian side, of course, and that's the best place to see it. I found that out. And he says that when I got off the train, I could hear the roar of the falls, but I couldn't see them. So I began to move toward the sound, and I came to a great big building. I went in that building, and it was like a Union Station in the United States. There was the popcorn vendor. There was the soda pop machine, the gift shop. and all kinds of things around and all kinds of papers and chewing gum papers on the floor and I guess chewing gum too and people sitting around. And he said, I was a little disappointed, but I could hear the roar of the falls. Then I looked down at the end of the building and I saw the biggest picture I'd ever seen in my life, a great big frame that took in most of the end of that building. And he says, it was a picture of Niagara Falls. And he said, I couldn't believe that at Niagara Falls they'd have a picture of Niagara Falls. So he said, I began to walk down toward that picture. And the closer I got to it, I saw that I was looking through a frame at the real, living, running falls. May I say to you, friends, when you read the Bible, you're not looking at a dead person. You're looking at the real, living Christ. He's living. He's at God's right hand. And we're to seek the things which are above. We're to seek Him today. And that's the reason we're going through the Bible. And there's no shortcut to this. Somebody said to me, well, why not cut it down to 1 year? I've tried that. I did that for several years. It's not adequate. 5 years is really not adequate because some people are already writing in and says, why don't you slow down? Well, friends, we're taking 5 years, and now somebody says 10 years. Oh, no, I can't do that. This is not a short course, and it's actually longer than any college course. And I can't go 10 years. That's out for me. 5 years is long enough. And even if we went through 10 years, 20 years, we'd not know it all. Well, when Paul came to the end of his life, he could say that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Fellowship of his sufferings. Oh, today, friends, that you and I might seek those things which are above. And that's the purpose of this program here. And how well are we doing it? Well, some people are getting through. I'm going to pick up now just a couple of letters here and share them with you. Here is one that the listener writes. When we were studying Romans and Corinthians, I began to realize just how much of a carnal Christian I really was. And I began to desire much more than that. So I began to pray that I might truly know Christ as God would want me to. Nothing happened for a while, but I kept praying. And then God did answer my prayer. One day you said that God sees us in Christ. And it was as though some dark hidden thing had been brought out into the light. I'd read Ephesians many times before, but that day your message really struck home. It's a wonderful thing to know that Paul's prayer is still being answered today. And I realized that day that God no longer looked down upon me as a poor sinner struggling upon this earth, but in Christ, and I belong to Him as a child. I wish I could read the rest of that letter. My friend, that's what we want to do. Will you listen to this one here? And I probably should tell you where this one comes from. It comes from Reedley, California. And then here is one that comes from Fountain Valley, California. And this listener writes, I'm not going to rave on about, oh, Dr. McGee, I don't know what I'd do without you, but must testify to the real fact that your faithful holding forth of the word of life has sustained me through some very difficult things. And always brings me back to where God can and does show Himself to be a loving Father who cares about me and each one of my children that are His children. When I wrote you a year ago about regaining my spiritual equilibrium during your study in Romans, I thought things had gotten as bad as they possibly could, and the worst was over. Well, I know now that God was strengthening me then to endure what has come since. And through it all, that was good old Dr. McGee, God's spokesman, faithfully declaring the whole counsel of God daily. And sometimes in desperation, I'd listen 2 and 3 times a day as all else around me crumbled and deteriorated. My friend, may I say to you, and I say it from my heart, oh, get through to Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, the right hand of God. And I'd give up and quit if there weren't some people getting through to Him, let me tell you, because that's the purpose of this program, and that ought to be the purpose of every program and anything that's done for God, that it gets people through to God. Now, will you notice, he says, set your affection. Actually, the word here is mine. Think about the things that are above. You remember Paul said that if there's anything that's good and pure, think on these things. And that's Christ, by the way. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. How are you going to get along with your mother-in-law is important. But my friend, you're going to get along with your mother-in-law, or you're not going to get along with her. Maybe you can get along with her. The important thing is for you to get through to Christ. That ought to come above everything else. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead. And I'd like to change that, because here it's, for ye have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, when we read here that you have died, when did you die? Same thing that we've had before in Galatians. I'm crucified with Christ. When were you? 1900 years ago. He took my place. He took your place. He died in your room and my room, and we died in him. And therefore, ye have died in Christ, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, I was taken out of the old Adam by baptism, that is, the Holy Spirit. He took me out and put me in Christ. And as this letter I read, it's opened up a new world for this man. You're now in Christ, and now that you're in Christ, you should live his life out. Let his fullness be lived out through you. When Christ, who is our life, now, if you have any life, it's Christ. John says, we're going to show unto you eternal life. Well, how can you show eternal life? He's going to show them Christ. Christ is eternal life. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And some of these days we're going to appear with him in glory. Now, friends, he's going to get right down to the nitty-gritty of the thing. This is right down where you and I live. And I want to say, if you are today a dedicated Christian living for him, Paul's going to make it very easy for you to understand whether you're really dedicated or not. Are these things in your life? Now he's going to say something that's very interesting. Mortify, that is, put in the place of death your members which are upon the earth. Put them in the place of death. And he mentions fornication. That's sex. Is that your sin today? Let's not kid ourselves. There's a great many folk that are covering this up, that are talking about being dedicated Christians. My friend, Paul's going to bring it right out in the open. Put in the place of death. Now, you can't kill yourself, or you're not dead, but you're to put in the place of death your members. What is it? Your eye is causing you trouble today? You look with an eye of covetousness or of lust today? Put those eyes in the place of death. And now, use them as the eyes of Christ to look upon. And may I say to you, it's going to change things, is it not? Fornication, uncleanness, and that inordinate affection means uncontrolled passions. Now, every now and then I hear somebody that'll come along and confess, and I have several letters along that line, that, well, I couldn't help myself. My friend, you ought not to get in that spot. It's like the little boy, the mama called to him one night. She heard him in the kitchen, and she says, where are you? He says, I'm in the pantry. And he had the cookie jar open. She says, what are you doing? He says, I'm fighting temptation. My friend, that's the wrong place to fight temptation. Don't fight it there at the cookie jar if you're not to have the cookies. And so the same thing is about inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Is the almighty dollar your God? Are you more interested in the dollar than you are the living Christ today? Say, these things begin to hurt. Well, we'll have to stop right here, but we're going to pick right up there next time. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Well, as our time together comes to a close, I'd like to remind you that Through the Bible is available only through the faithful financial and prayer support of friends just like you. You know, we don't mention it often, but we really do rely on God's people to support his work. So thank you for joining with us in your prayer and gifts. Now, to find out how you can provide maybe a tank of gas or a new set of tires for this Bible bus, please call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE, or you can always donate online. Just visit ttb.org/give. Now, if you'd prefer to get in touch by mail, you can reach us at Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. Of course, we know that many of you are unable to give today, but please know that your prayers are even more valuable. And if you want to join our world prayer team in praying that the whole word would reach the whole world, sign up at ttb.org/pray. Tomorrow, we'll hear Dr. McGee tackle the issue of personal holiness. I hope you'll be listening. And why don't you tell your friends how they can hear God's word taught on Through the Bible, too.
Jesus made it home. Unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.